back, everyone, to another episode of the Reality Podcast. And today we have someone who has truly mastered the game of change and is also the epitome of human interaction.
We are so excited to welcome Ms. Geetha Ramakrishnan to our episode today, an author, coach, and much more.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Geetha, and a huge congratulations to you on your Amazon number one bestseller book, but more so for the amazing goal that you have.
Yeah, thank you. It's such an honor, and I'm so excited to participate in this interactive talk. And y'all are so young, you have so much energy, and it's just rushing on to me. I can feel that.
Well, that's great for us. It's exactly what we want you and also our listeners to feel. So with that, let's dive right into it. We have so many interesting questions because it doesn't happen very often that people like us or at our age are understanding of, you know, the human body, the human mind, and the importance of taking care of it. And I think both Anupam and I, given that, you know, we just went through the entire COVID pandemic and whatnot, it's just gotten more and more important to us to take care of ourselves as well. So with that, I wanted to start off by asking you that, you know, you've helped so many people find their aha moment. And I'm sure the journey to that was also filled with a lot of moments for them, which had a lot of sigh and sadness. So how did you ensure that that type of negativity or that kind of vibe didn't rub off on you?
Okay, so I'll tell you a little bit of ontological coaching so you all can understand what I do and how I do it. So I'm an ontological life coach, by which I mean is I have a very simple job. All I have to do is take a mirror in front of people and I help them reflect. And in that process, they find their success story, so to say. So of course, in that process, there'll be lots of ups and downs and introspection, you know, understanding where they went right or wrong, how they can correct themselves and things like that. And I use my tools like my language, I use emotions and the way we, you know, use our body itself. Like if I am like this, my body position, or if I'm like this, my whole energy can change. So while I'm listening to them, I am as inert as possible while I'm providing them a very safe space to express their emotions. So whether it is anger, it's frustration, it is sadness, whatever the emotion may be, even joy, you know, as long as you express, somebody expresses, they find a vent to it. And I help them say, for example, if you're angry, one thing is you can shout and yell. That's only one way of expressing it. There are other ways of expressing it, for waiting for a bit, for, you know, inhaling. And so when with this inhaling and you literally step back, and then you can address the same issue that you are angry by saying, I am angry because this happened to the other person, and you can soon be in a conversation. So you see, in this whole process, there is no way that it's very exhilarating for me, and it's also a learning journey. It reminds me off and on where in which space I should be. It keeps me grounded. So I don't see anywhere that sadness that's pushing me down. It's like, I feel very blessed that I'm able to help people discover themselves.
That was perfect. Yes. And I was recently watching a YouTube video, which I guess you uploaded like a week ago, about the conversation, the body language, which is involved in that. And yeah, completely relatable to that. Yeah. Very excellent point. So yeah, so moving on to next. So we all have missions, right, in our life. And we love your mission to empower 10,000 women to win the game of change and live life in joy and peace. How do you plan to accomplish this?
So see, my learning journey was not like, you know, straight line. It was up and down. And I started off as a very young, dynamic, like, you know, wanting to be the best in my business and in whatever I do, young mother of two kids, a lot of ups and downs. And it's like a juggling act, basically, right? I'm multitasking. And as a result of which, while I wanted to be successful and be seen as strong, the opposite actually happened. It drained me. It was overwhelming. And soon I didn't realize, but I used to often be complaining. My children pointed out to me, like, why are you always complaining and whining, you know? And that allowed me to step back and think, what am I doing? Why am I doing all this? So this whole introspection, and then when I finally decided to get a mentor coach myself, you know, and that really changed my life, because everyone needs a little bit of a nudge to help them with whatever it is that they are going through. So I feel this is something that I want to share. So I also discovered like very easy to use tips and tools and whatever you call it, which I can share with people, and especially women, because as a woman, I resonate with women, obviously, right? And when I want to share with people all these small things, changes, small changes that y'all can do in life, and not wait for me and gray hair, and you know, then realize, when I was young, I could have done that. It's not at all necessary. They are all science-based, it's doable. So I like to spread that message. So I feel like, you know, thanks to media like y'all, podcast, social media, Instagram, and mostly word of mouth even. Like I love to chat about what I'm doing. So whenever I'm with friends, I feel if the message passes and even 1% of it is valuable to somebody, I will feel great.
Yeah, definitely. I think your entire field is really about the impact that you can make, which you can't say for many other job industries, right? Like it often happens that you're in a job or you're in a role where you're working for yourself, whether that's a promotion, whether that's for an increased salary, or even, you know, just for passion that you have. But in your field, it's almost entirely based off of the impact you can make, which I think is a very, very unique and also very responsible position to be in. So I wanted to shift pace really quickly to human relationships per se. So in today's time, and I'm sure that many of us have faced this, many people around the world face this, and some people might even face it till today, you come across people who like to judge you before they even know you. Now, usually people tend to associate this with jealousy. And, you know, perhaps you've never even done anything wrong to them. Maybe you might not even had an interaction with them, but yet they go around spreading judgment about you, speaking ill about you to others. And, you know, in turn, that obviously creates a cycle where people may not want to be friends with you or may not want to speak to you. So how do you suggest people should handle such a situation?
That's a very interesting question. Did you realize that we interact with each other by judging? That's a very basic thing. So I already judged y'all like high energy because I could see your smile. And that's a type of judging, right? So judging can be good and bad. Now, if somebody judges me and they're actually jealous of me, I'll be happy that I was able to make that impact to start with. But looking at it in a way is like my whole coaching is based on being positive. So the world is full of negative and positive. Everything is there around us. And it is also a natural tendency of our brain to focus on the negative more. Oh, this didn't happen. Why that didn't happen? And, you know, and there's a fear. There's an underlying fear. So it prevents us from trying things that let me play safe. And so this negative thing is not very useful. Sometimes it's great because it, prevents us from being rash. So it has its value. But by focusing on a positive outcome, right, you are putting the probability of it actually happening out there. So, and because of this, my main focus on coaching being positive, whenever if, say, for example, somebody thinks that I hurt them and they are very jealous of me, I would try and take the trouble to go and speak to them and first apologize if they really felt hurt and I didn't even know about it, and try and understand what is it that is upsetting them, how can I make it better. And so at least I'm trying from my side to have a conversation with them. So what I'm doing here is I'm trying to be open and curious versus shut. The moment I'm shut, you know, it sends an energy that I'm right, you're wrong. So why are you judging me? Why, that's why you're jealous of me or whatever that reason is. But the moment I'm opening and being curious, I need not agree with the other person in the end. We can agree to disagree and sign off. The thing is, I tried. I made a path. I attempted to do something. Those are the things that are important in the society, in this world. Every time you're trying to improve your life by doing something, whether irrespective of what it has an effect on the other person or not, it's only the thing is I can change myself. I cannot go to the other person and say, hey, don't be jealous, it's not a good thing to be in, you know. But if I am open and curious and I am able to pass that energy to the other person might think, okay, maybe I should have, you know, addressed it in a different way, or maybe not. Either ways, the whole point is trying.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think a lot of my friends, Anupam included, often laugh at me because I really believe in the power of manifestation and essentially, you know, putting what you want out there in the universe for it to some way come back to you. So I think you just, you know, phrase that in a very different way. And this is me telling Anupam that manifestation is actually a thing and that he should believe in it too.
No, you should believe in it also, because in some ways I relate this to Einstein and his laws So in some way, he has said that whatever you are proposing, like we are all made of matter and energy, mm-hmm. like all human beings and the entire universe. So the moment you are pinning, okay, tomorrow I want to get a Nobel Prize, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm converting that energy and pinning it into a possible matter in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Mm-hmm. So I've already put the probability out there. Or I could say that, oh, I don't want to be sick when I'm old. I did exactly the same thing. I put a probability that I can be sick out there in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I choose something negative when I can choose something happy and positive, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think if no one paid attention in probability class for anything, this is one thing they should take away. That I completely agree. You might as well, if you're putting something out there, make it positive just in case it works out for you, rather than, you know, even a small chance of something negative happens. So.
Yes. So moving on from probability and the universe, let's talk about something which happened recent, which is the yoga day, the International Yoga Day. And meditation and yoga is usually seen as the ultimate way to effectively engage your body and mind. And it has been practiced since a long time. Do you agree? And do you recommend any other method to keep your brain juices flowing apart from yoga and meditation?
Yeah, definitely yoga and meditation is one of the many that I can see. And for some people, it is like, oh, I'm not old enough, and they find it too out there, you know, maybe too spiritual or too profound, and they don't want to be, or they don't have the time. So I can think of many other ways, simple ways that I can tell you. So how I look at it is our body and mind is one. So we are one whole with two parts, one called body and one called mind. So whatever we do with our mind affects our body, and whatever we do with the body affects the mind. Right? So this is also the principle of meditation and yoga and that mindfulness and all that. So one thing that you can do with your body is smile. See, when I smile, I emit the energy of happiness. Like I'm like, you know, I don't really need to have a reason to smile. But say in the morning, I get up, I wake up and I smile. I'm bringing in a certain positivity, which it affects my mood for at least the half the morning. So why not, right? So I have changed my mind just by this act of smiling. That's one example. And it's so simple. Everybody can do it. You don't have to do yoga for that. Maybe it's a part of yoga, but simple things that we feel that the complicated solutions are the right ones. But there are a lot of simple things. Like another thing I can think of is being in gratitude, like saying thank you. Saying thank you to your parents, saying thank you to somebody who cleans your house if you're not able to do it yourself. Or, you know, vocalizing that thank you makes the other person so happy. So these are also what you can call as mindful activities. Allows your body to be more happy. Or in another way, what you can do with your body is eat well. Like healthy eating. I don't call it dieting. It's healthy eating. It's a lifestyle habit that you are going to develop. I mean, you can eat all the samosas and kachoris and all that. But then at some place, you have to make a balance, make an effort, include some activity. So activity does not mean going to a gym, and it can be boring and many people cannot afford it. afford it. So you can do skipping, you can do Zumba, or you know, you take a hula hoop and like just whirl. It's just increasing your body activity for certain time. It's also good, better than being zero, right? So when you're doing that, what happens is you are releasing happy hormones in your body. That's what it's called. And it affects each and every cell of your body to be healthier. So this way you can use your body and mind. Yoga and meditation are of course very good. But every day you can contribute to yourself by making all these small, small changes.
Definitely. I think both of us can vouch that we'll now try yoga again. Although we do like to practice physical activity in our own ways, I think yoga and meditation is one such thing that has now become something that people are definitely trying to get into. And the concept of, you know, taking out 10-15 minutes from your day just for yourself is something that a lot of people didn't afford for themselves earlier on. So I think it's about time that everybody understands that concept, with, you know, even office spaces having dedicated areas and rooms for you to practice, you know, self-love.
That's true. Yeah. But you know what is the easiest thing in this? You can just get up in the morning and stretch right on the bed.
True.
Or in your office, like if it's a chair, you can, you know, put your hands around, you can sit and stand, you can do so many things. You can use them as props, and it can be 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So the international standards of being healthy, if you practice 10 minutes in a day, for even 5 days in a week, that is good enough to keep you healthy. It's not much, right? When you have 24 hours in a day, it's not much.
Definitely. Yeah.
This is the 10-minute golden rule. So with that, I wanted to take this to a more large scale. So in your opinion, what is a winning mindset for us as humans?
A winning mindset is when there is always growth. So how do I explain a growth mindset? Is when, say you have to have a goal. I believe I'm a great like OCD about this. So I always have goals. I have long-term goals and short-term goals. But then my goal is not as important as the path. The path that you follow is very important. So the path, like I say, it should be an open, learning, inquisitive, flexible mindset. Because sometimes you cannot say, no, my goal is I will reduce, say, 5 kilos. I have to reduce. And then you're stressing out about it. So finally, if you understand that 5 kilos was a bit much, okay, make it 2 or make it even 1, you know. So every now and then, looking back and adapting your goal and changing. So that it requires you to be flexible, requires you to be open, wondering, oh, why it didn't work. So you have to keep questioning yourself, be inquisitive. So what can make it better? So even if you are to fail, it's okay. It's not a big deal. Nobody is 100 on 100 times successful. When you fail, so you can reword it as an opportunity. Instead of saying, I tried, you know, it didn't work and I'm feeling very bad. Say, oh, look at it. It's an opportunity. Now, why did I fail? What can I do to make it better? So when you are constantly in this mindset, I call it as a growth mindset, versus a fixed mindset where you believe that, no, this is my maximum capacity. I'm doing my best. I cannot do anything more than this. You know, nobody is helping me. Those sort of things would be a fixed mindset. There is always a capacity for your brains to grow irrespective of age. I mean, y'all are so young, maybe you won't even understand the concept. But I remember when I was in school, I was in the 10th grade, okay? And we were in the English class, and the teacher said that there was this poet who died at a young age of 35. And we all laughed because we were, what, 15, 16, and we thought 35 was old. But now I definitely think otherwise, and I believe that even if I have to change, I have to learn a new skill, as long as I'm doing all this, what's happening in the brain is I'm wiring and firing different sides of the brains. Like, because I'm doing new things that I have not done before, like learning to play piano, or even learning a new game. Something simple need not be always something very difficult or profound. As long as I'm trying out new things, I'm keeping my brain young, And I'm my ability to be more confident about myself and to contribute is always on a incline, you know. That's a growth mindset, and that's a great way to be.
Definitely. I think speaking of growth mindset, I once heard that fail stands for first attempt in learning. So if you look at it in a positive way, I think there's, you know, an ulterior way of approaching everything and even adapting to it.
That was good.
Yeah.
And me and Anushka, we both are like a strong believer of to-do list, and like it's really, really important to actually like make up a mind before you start the day. Like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And it really helps you find the direction in the life. Definitely. So yeah, so like this is something I really I always ask all the guests on our podcast, and this is not included in the brief. So if you had to give a tip to a 21-year-old yourself, so most of our listeners are of that age bracket, mm-hmm. what tip would you give?
The one thing I would say is, A, sometimes slowing down is the new fast. Mm-hmm. People think multitasking is good, and I know the corporate world and everything, like you have to do 10 things in one time, fast is great. Mm-hmm. But sometimes slowing down and doing an audit of what are you doing this for? Why are you running like this? Is a great idea. Because when you do things last moment and you do like first in, first out, it will work. But then you are burning yourself. You have to remember that you need this body and mind for another rest of like your, if you're 20, you need it for at least 80 years if you were to live to 100. So you have to keep that in mind. That will be at least one advice that I would give.
All right. That was straight to the point.
I'm glad I'm still 21, so I can still materialize that. So with that, we are done with our questions, but now we'll move on to what we like to call fondly the spill the tea segment. So we had to bring in a little element of us being millennials into this, and so this is a very fun segment where we just ask you, you know, wacky, easy, quick questions, and we get to know you better, hopefully. So okay. I'll start off. Yoga, meditation, your choice of activity.
Say again? I didn't hear you.
Yoga or meditation, your choice of activity.
Meditation.
All right, moving on to next. Dubai or India? Which do you prefer?
That's tough. I'm in Dubai for the last 30 plus years, so Dubai.
Okay, good answer. I love Dubai. What's your life mantra?
That it's okay to fail.
Okay, moving on to a very controversial one. Kindles or hardcover books?
Hardcover book, because I like that ear. Making doggy ears in the book, and I scribble notes. I make faces in the book. So I just feel that I'm owning all the writing and what I'm reading.
And there's a new book smell as well. I'm not sure if I'm the only person who's experienced that, but there's this peculiar,
there is.
Book smell that you can't find anywhere else.
Having said that, I do have Kindle, and it's easy for me to like download books and travel, and I read like maybe 3-4 books at a time, but holding a book, it's a different feeling.
So what's your ideal location for a getaway, and what would you do in that getaway?
Well, you know, I have this thing that in my mind, I have this amazing, amazing place. So when I am a little like, you know, when I want some peace and me time, I just go to that place. So in my mind, okay, so it has a nice pond. It has lovely trees. It's green. And the trees, there's fish in the pond. The fish talks to me and the birds sing. So this is my go-to place. But since it's in my mind, if you want a real place in this earth, I would say my husband and me always want to go back to Santorini. It has amazing memories, and it's such a beautiful town. It's painted in like white and blue literally all over, and just want to go there one day.
It's beautiful. I've seen it in all the movies, and I'm sure it'll be fun to walk through those alleys as well.
Yes.
So with that, unfortunately, all good things have to come to an end, and our podcast does too. We really enjoyed speaking to you. If you would like to share any other message with our listeners, we'd be more than happy for you to do so. I also want to let you know that I love your background. The fact that your environment literally exudes, you know, gratitude, appreciation, imperfection, and intuition, all the attributes I'm sure you want to follow in your life and you want us to follow in your life. So I think this is also a great indicator to everyone to surround yourself in an environment that constantly motivates you, encourages you, and inspires you. Because at the end of the day, it is that environment that nurtures you to become who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. You said it so well. And I want to really thank both of y'all to, you know, allow me to express my views in your channel. You said there are a lot of youngsters. Those are your audience. And I really want to share all my messages with them. So maybe y'all relate, maybe y'all don't. But I'm sure something will ring the bell and I'll be very happy, like I said. And I want to say that I wrote all these things that you can see behind me. I'm trying to, these are values, and values form like a foundation. It's like a root of a tree, especially as you're younger and you grow old. Values are something that will hold you, keep you grounded. So try never to, first of all, try to identify the values, try never to compensate it, because once if you say, okay, I lie only this. So, and I try to be as authentic as possible. And that's because I cannot tell somebody something that I am not following. So, and with that, I really again want to wish you all the very best and a big thank you again.
Thank you so much for being here. We really enjoyed having you, and we'll definitely be on the lookout for a lot more of your content, like Arupam said.